There's a whole sound that's coming out of heaven in these days. That sound is the sound of God's voice calling. There's a sound that's also coming from creation. And that sound is calling and calling people back into their destiny and eternal destiny. And even people who aren't Christians will be able to feel something of that sound, because it's coming out of heaven. And looking at the opening ceremony for the Olympics, you know, there were lots of things in that ceremony where I believe people looking for inspiration were hearing some of the sound of heaven. Because there were things in it that represented some of the things that God is doing. And just the very fact that seven people who were ordinary in a sense of no one knew them had the baton passed on to them by Redgrave, whatever his first name is, Steve Redgrave, was significant, because God is actually calling us to pass the baton on to a generation of people who are going to bring Jesus back. And, you know, they even had doves, because they weren't allowed to use real doves anymore. And a dove in the Bible is symbolic of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And actually, doves came in the form of people riding on bicycles with wings. And there's lots of other things in that that indicate, you know, even the fact that bells rang out right throughout the whole nation was prophesied in October last year, that that would herald in something of God into this nation and call the nation back to be a place of worship and prayer. So God is moving, and God wants us to be part of what he's doing, to be ambassadors of heaven and ambassadors of his kingdom, because he's calling us to be involved in that process. 2 Corinthians 5:20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. God is making an appeal through us. It's our lives which represent him on the earth. And he's making an appeal to the whole of creation to come back into godly order, to come back into relationship, to come back into that heavenly symphony that he has created. And it's up to us to call people back into reconciliation with God, to be reconciled to their destiny. Paul in Ephesians 6:20 said, I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming the kingdom I speak, might speak boldly. See, we are ambassadors of a heavenly kingdom, not an earthly one. Although the earthly one needs to come into line and alignment with the heavenly one. Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven. So we're citizens of heaven, and all the authority of heaven is for us. So we're not bound by the laws of physics and the laws of this world, because we have our citizenship in heaven. Colossians 1:13, he has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. He's taken us out of that place where we are bound by the darkness of the world and brought us into the kingdom of light, where we can become sons, daughters of light, citizens of a heavenly kingdom. It's always been God's intention that this material universe would reflect his heavenly, spiritual, supernatural kingdom. That was what he did originally. Satan fell and tried to mess it up. Then he got Adam to fall and mess it up. Jesus came to restore it back to its original intention. Matthew 6:9 was what Jesus taught his disciples the way to pray. Pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven. So the whole focus is not to be on earth, but to be on heaven, because that is where our Father is. And then it goes on to say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we have to have an engagement with heaven to bring the kingdom to earth. And that's where our focus needs to be. If we look at the life of Jesus, that's what Jesus did. John 1:14 says, the Word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we saw his glory, glory from the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus came to represent God, the kingdom of heaven on earth. So everything he did in his life is a reflection of what it's like in heaven. And in heaven, there's no sickness. So he brought healing. In heaven, there is no demonic possession. So he brought deliverance. So in heaven, there is love. And he came to demonstrate love because God is love. And John 1:51 says, again, Jesus saying, I say to you, you will see the heavens opened. We've been talking about an open heaven. That's how Jesus lived. Under an open heaven, having the power of heaven coming through his life and manifesting around him as an ambassador for his Father. And it says the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. That's what we will see. Angels involved of an open heaven. Because that's God's desire, that we live that way. John 3:13, Jesus talking and basically saying, no man has ascended to heaven, but he who has come down from heaven, even the Son of Man, who is in heaven. He was talking about himself, who basically saying, I'm talking to you right here and now, but actually I'm still in heaven. My spirit is eternal and is connected to the heavenly realms. And that was how he was able to live, seeing what the Father was doing, doing the works of the Father, expressing the kingdom, living it out in what he did, what he said, how he acted, everything. He was an ambassador of that heavenly kingdom. Revelation 1:6 says, he has made us to be a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. There is going to be no end to the increase of his dominion and government throughout the universe and beyond. And he's made us to be a kingdom of priests. In other words, royal priesthood. That means we are have authority as kings and access to the very holy things of God as priests for the world in which we live. Because a priest stood representing the people. And we stand as ambassadors of God's kingdom representing the rest of the world to bring them into reconciliation. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. See, that open heaven is available to us through relationship with Jesus. And as we open up the door to our life and allow Jesus to come in, and as we open up the door to our heart and allow Jesus to fill our life, we will have relationship with him. And that relationship gives us access to heaven. Because the next verse in Revelation 4:1, it says, and after these things, I looked and behold, a door standing open in heaven. The door was standing open. Access to God's presence. Not just him coming here, but us going there and bringing his presence here is what we have access to. Hebrews 1:3 says this, and he, Jesus, is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. Jesus represented God's nature exactly. So everything you see in the life of Jesus represents the God who is in heaven. And Jesus upholds all things by the word of his power. Scientifically, that means that this whole universe is held together from another realm, from the realm of heaven. And it's the power of Jesus' voice that holds it together. Now, I could explain that scientifically. I haven't got time today. I will one day. But actually, it is true. Everything is vibrating at a frequency which represents the frequency of the voice of Jesus that spoke creation into being. Now, after all that, after he had died on that cross and made purification for sins, it says he sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. He is enthroned higher and in power than any other power in the universe because he went through the cross. Hebrews 1 verse 5 says, for to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you. And again, I will be father to him and he shall be a son to me. That's what God said to Jesus, not to the angels, to Jesus. He also says it to us, that we can be his children. That he can be our father. Hebrews 1:8 says, of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. That's the symbol of authority that can bring the kingdom of heaven to earth because we are sons and daughters of the kingdom. Jesus is the exact representation of God, and we are ambassadors of Jesus. So we have to be the representation for God on earth. How are people going to see God if they don't see it through us, his body on the earth? He upholds by words of power. He sits on a throne of authority. His identity is a son. His throne has a scepter of authority. He loves righteousness and hates lawlessness. Therefore, that is what we're called to do. All those things is our inheritance. Romans 8:29 says, "For those he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many children." Jesus died so that we could become children of God. He was the firstborn and we become like him. Goes on to say in verse 16, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ." So we become an heir to the kingdom. Then it goes on to say this, "If we indeed suffer with him." Now, suffering is not talking about sickness and that type of stuff. It's talking about the process of transformation. Because we have to be conformed. In other words, shaped and molded, not according to the world has molded us, but be transformed into the shape of Jesus. So that we can be glorified with him. So that we can represent and have his glory manifesting through us as ambassadors of heaven. The standards of heaven, heaven's kingdom, is higher. Higher standards of behavior, superior authority, power, wisdom. There's new speech in the kingdom. We've gone through these over the weeks. New attitudes, a new lifestyle, new dimensions for us to live in. Living under kingdom authority, an ambassador was not under the authority of the country he lived in. He was under the authority of the country that sent him. So we have been sent as ambassadors and therefore under heaven's authority, not earth. Therefore we have a new health service, which is healing. We're not under the rules of this one. We have a new economy and financial services, new society, because God wants to restore paradise to before what it was like before the fall. Therefore, there is transformation to a new order of the realm of the kingdom. So our lives, our families, church, town, region, nation, world, and beyond need to be transformed and brought into alignment with heaven. Therefore, I must represent Christ and his kingdom to the world. Now, I say me because I can only say me. It's up to you whether you say you. I'm not here on this earth to represent myself. I'm not here to promote my own ideas or my own personal ideology. I'm here not to voice my opinions about life and God on other people. I'm here to represent Christ. And through me, he can do what he wants to do if I'm a channel of his presence, if I'm a voice that represents his voice, if I represent him in the way I believe and act and everything else, then he can demonstrate the kingdom to the world around us. Ambassadors have an honored position, which carries responsibility. We are always personally representing Jesus every situation that we face. So everything we go through, we are a representative of the kingdom of heaven and Jesus. So how we behave and how we act is really important if the world is going to see and be drawn to God. We need to know the messenger and to be and speak the message of Jesus. So we need to know Jesus intimately and in relationship so that we can be like him and speak the same message that he carried. We need to preach the good news. Now, I don't want to go around preaching the good news. Actually, in word and deed. Francis of Assisi said, preach the kingdom all the time and sometimes use words. Because actually most of the time it's people looking at how we live and observing how we behave and what we do is more important than the words that we say, because words can be cheap. You can say all sorts of things, but do we back it up by the reality of how we live? So we say Jesus is our healer. Do we lay hands on the sick and see them recover? Because it's no good saying something unless we demonstrate it. In word. By what we say, people should be able to see that we're followers of Jesus. Because our words should be positive, loving, affirming, truth. Our speech should differ from the world around us, does it? Or are we just like everybody else, moaning, groaning, and miserable at times? Our words should resonate with that which is righteous, with authority, with the voice of Jesus. Indeed. So actually John 14:12 says we should do the works that Jesus did. So demonstrating and being an ambassador of the kingdom, we cannot just say, well, I just say the words. We have to do the works. Because Jesus came to reflect God and to demonstrate the kingdom as an ambassador, and he did the works. So he healed, he delivered, he did miracles, he did those things. Speaking the words of God is not enough. We need to demonstrate it. And this may involve more than just meeting spiritual needs. We may need to meet physical needs as well. So we are actually doing what Jesus did. Actually, Jesus fed the hungry. He did it miraculously. He took what was given him, a couple of loaves and some fishes, and he multiplied it. Are you willing to be the loaves and fishes that Jesus can multiply and bless the world with? Because he's just looking for someone to say, yeah, take me. Use me as a channel for the kingdom. Now we have to preach the word, and it's really important that who do we do that to? The world. It's no good preaching the word to each other, is it? It's like we all know the word. We need to encourage each other, but we need to preach the word. And preaching is not just words. It's demonstration. When? In season and out of season, the Bible says. We'll look at some of these scriptures. What do we preach? Christ and him crucified. We preach the cross. The power of the victory of the death of Jesus over sin, sickness, demonic forces and everything else. That's what we preach. Why? To bring reconciliation between God and man. To restore things back to their original purpose. 1 Corinthians 2:23, we preach Christ crucified. 1 Corinthians 2:4, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Now I could preach all day on that verse. Well, I'm just giving it you, but that's what it is. In power, the words are preached. 1 Corinthians 4:15, I preach the good news to you. Jesus is good news to those who are lost and without hope, who are struggling in bondage, who are fearful. To any situation there is, which is lots of bad news, Jesus is good news. 2 Corinthians 2:17, we preach the word of God with sincerity and with Christ's authority. We have authority to speak. 2 Corinthians 4:5, we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord. We're preaching the kingdom. That's exactly the same thing as saying, I preach the kingdom of God, Christ as Lord. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, for our preaching of the glad tidings, the gospel, came to you, not only in word, but also in its own inherent power, and in the Holy Spirit, and with great conviction and absolute certainty on our part. You know what kind of men we proved ourselves to be among you for your good. See, it needs to be outworked. It needs to be lived out in front of people. 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. See, the word of God is powerful and we need to speak it out. 1 Peter 2:1-25. But the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word which was preached to you. See, we need to know the message, and we need to speak the message, but we need to live the message. Do we desire to live a life like that, that brings glory to God? You know, our first two songs today were songs about being ambassadors. You know, can we live a life like that? Well, the answer is yes, if we allow God to live it through us. Do we carry the message of the cross and the victory and power of Jesus? Are we the message? Do people look at us and see good news, or do they see bad news? How are we reflecting? What kingdom are we demonstrating? God's or the kingdom of this world? We will never be Jesus to the world unless we want to be. God doesn't force it on us. He wants willing volunteers who will say, here I am, send me. Here I am. I surrender my life to you. I am willing to be an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. Do you want to be an ambassador? We are representatives of another culture, another way of life. It's the life of heaven. In this capacity, we do not give our own opinions, but we advance the position of our home country. That's what an ambassador does. You know, the ambassador in the UK of America, he doesn't actually give his own opinion. He gets it from wherever they are, Washington, the White House, who tells him what their country's position is. We have to know what the position of heaven is so we can speak that out on earth. We must function as a servant and a steward, representing the country of heaven faithfully. As such, we should practice hospitality, courtesy, and graciousness. See, ambassadors put on functions. And of those functions, they're really good. Because what are their functions doing? Those functions are saying, this is what our home country is really like. We're great. It's really good to be here. And so they practice a lot of hospitality. And they don't come over as miserable and mean. They want to reflect the glory of their own country abroad. That's what God wants us to be. So the way we live is really important. And I want to finish with some scriptures which talk about the way we live. Ambassadors represent Christ by their behavior as followers, disciples. Disciples are followers of Jesus who look to be like Jesus. John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And that one another is a key phrase that I want to pick out a whole load of scriptures, and I'm not going to preach on them, I'm not going to explain them, I'm just going to let them speak for themselves. But they're all to do with how we treat one another, how we have relationship with one another, how we act towards one another, how we speak towards one another, how we think and feel about one another. Because it goes on to say in verse 35, by this all men will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. God is love. Therefore, we have to demonstrate God's love, because that's who he is. It's his very nature. Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty or proud in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anybody. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Now that is a manifesto of love. If we live like that, the world would see something different. And that's just one scripture. Romans 13:8. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Romans 14:13. Therefore let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or stumbling block in a brother's way. Romans 14:19. So then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Romans 15:7. Therefore accept one another, just as Christ has also accepted us to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 12. So that there be no division in the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. Galatians 5:13. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Now you're getting the point. It's a whole load of one another's. Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burdens, therefore fulfill the law of Christ. Ephesians 2:4-2. With all humility and gentleness and with patience, showing tolerance to one another in love. Now, that's not an easy one, is it? Particularly when people rub you up the wrong way. Well, actually, they're supposed to rub you up and get rid of those rough edges. That's what it is. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Philippians 2:1-3, therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Colossians 3:12. So, as those who've been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, encourage one another and build up one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:13, live in peace with one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:15, see that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Couple more scriptures. Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Not forsaking our own assembling together, as the habit of some is, but encourage one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. The more we see Jesus is coming, returning, we need to come together and stimulate and encourage one another. James 5:16. Interesting one. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. 1 John 5:17, if we walk in the light as he is himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Those two scriptures go together. As we confess our sins to one another, we're walking in the light, we're open, and therefore the blood of Jesus cleanses us. 1 Peter 4:8, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. John 13, if I then, the Lord, the teacher, washed your feet, so also you ought to wash one another's feet. And that's a humbling thing, because feet are dirty old things, aren't they, sometimes? But actually, it's because they pick up all the dirt of walking around in life, but we're supposed to wash one another's feet, to care. Whoops. Again, John 13:34, a new commandment, love one another. That is basically the behavior of the kingdom. If we're to be ambassadors, that's the sort of lives we need to live. That's the sort of relationships we need to have. Proverbs 13:17, a wicked messenger falls into evil, but a faithful ambassador brings healing. If we are faithful ambassadors of God's kingdom, we can bring healing to this world. We can bring restoration to this world. We can bring people's lives back into the order of heaven, that symphony of heaven, that we're all together in harmony. Am I a faithful ambassador of Christ? Am I bringing light, salt, health, refreshment, comfort, and God to the people with whom I come into contact with? I'll leave you with that question. God calls us to be ambassadors, to represent heaven on earth with the full authority of heaven backing us up, to do the things that Jesus did, to be like Jesus, and to demonstrate the power of the kingdom to transform lives today. If you don't know Jesus today, your life can be transformed by the power of Jesus' death on the cross to bring life to you. His blood was shed, we sang, to ransom us, to buy us back from that state we're in, lost and hopeless and without hope in the world. To bring us back into a place of hope and restoration, back as children of God, in relationship with our Father, and then brought into a purpose of being an ambassador. You see, often we preach the good news and say, well, Jesus can do this and this for you. Jesus wants to call you into a destiny which is to fulfill heaven's commission and mandate on earth. Everyone here can have that fulfilled if we become ambassadors of God's kingdom. Amen?